are talking tonight about steps to prayer that brings results. Now, this is important to me because we are getting ready very shortly. It will just be a blink of the eye that we will be entering into the church anniversary. Mm-hmm. May 27th will be our anniversary, and God has already told me what the year represented, and he has told me this is the year of manifestation. And so we're beginning to position ourselves to be in the year of manifestation. This is an extremely important anniversary for the church because we will be going from the 7th to 8th year. That means perfect new beginnings. Okay? 7th to 8th year, perfect new beginnings, year of manifestation. It is my deepest desire that you have great manifestations in your life during this time. But I can tell you very clearly that if you don't position yourself for what God has for you, you will not get it. Mm-hmm. Okay? Some are under the delusion that they don't have to do their part to get what God has for you. And I'm here to tell you, I have never personally seen that work. So I can only talk to you about what I see work and what I know works. I can't talk to you about some hypothetical thing that may or may not work. But my very best guess for you tonight is if you don't do your part, then you're not going to receive what God has for you. He's God and he can do whatever he wants and he might throw you a bone. But if you want to have a year of manifestations, then you're going to need to position yourself. You're going to have to do that which brings results. There is not a more important segment of that in prayer. We are, as a Christian nation, prayer is become a problem. Mm. Okay? And I guess I'm going to get in their business. group prayer is a problem.
Come on.
Okay? It's a huge, why? Why is it a problem? Well, I'm glad you ask. Are you in the room with us, or are you just in the room? Were you praying with me when I led that prayer a little while ago? Were you praying with Pastor Brett as he led those prayers? Or were you just in the room? I talked to the pastoral staff. We don't have a service on Sunday until we have prayed. We get together in the office, most of us. There's 11. Usually we have 10, 11 in the office praying. And we get together and we pray. But are we all in the room? You see, if you sat there tonight and your mind wandered during the prayer, you weren't praying with us, you were just with us. But if you were focusing on what was said, if you were talking to God about it as it was being said, if you in your mind were yes, God, that's what we need, God, yes. Yes, God, I repent. He's talking about repenting, and I repent right now of that thing, God, that you know that I've done. Were you praying with us, or are you just in the room? Do you want results, or do you not want results? Prayer is, there's nothing more that I know of than prayer that brings great results. Because I believe that prayer changes the heart of God. That's why we pray. I'm not subscribing to everything is set in motion and nothing can be changed and predestined to do this and that. No, I've read too many times in the Bible where God had a change of heart. Is he the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow? Yes, he is, but that's his character. I have the same character. You have never seen me change characters on you. I am the same this week, last week, 3 years ago. My staff will tell you I do not change character, but I do change my mind. You see, if Pastor Brett wants something, and that's about every 30 minutes or so, and he will come to me and he'll say, "Will you release this?" "Nope," is my usual pat answer, right? "No, no, no." Not going to do it. But if he makes a compelling discussion, I start to think about it. And then I start to say, "Well, you know what? That's not such a bad idea after all. Let's do it." That didn't change my character. That just changed my heart or changed my mind concerning whatever it was he was asking for. Yes? Yes, Pastor Brett?
Wear you down.
Yeah, wear me down. Yes. When we go to God in prayer, he's waiting for your prayer. Already knows what you're going to pray about it. Says, "I know what you need before you ever ask." Mm-hmm. Already knows, but yet he's waiting for you to come to him in prayer. And I have no idea what we're talking about tonight, but I'm hoping we get into some understanding of how we're supposed to pray and what type, where we're supposed to be positionally wise to be able to pray. How we start our prayer, how we end our prayer. These are important things. When we're praying together corporately, it's important that we're concentrating together and we're praying. I don't even mind when I'm praying if I hear you talking to Jesus too. That does not bother me. I tell him in the pastoral office, "Let me hear you. Let me hear you get involved in this prayer. Be involved in what we're doing. I need results. I need manifestation. I don't have time to just pray to hear myself talk. Let's get together and let's do this thing." And so you'll hear a pastor praying in the office on Sunday and they all pray. And you'll hear the other pastors in agreement with them. "Yes, God." And one of the pastors will ask for something and they'll say, "Yes, God, we need that in this house. We need that in our lives." And they're agreeing and they're in the prayer and they're not just in the room, but they're with us. Working faith ministries, if you don't have a faith that's working for you, then do something about it. I don't want people in this church who come to church week after week after week and their lives don't change. That's a bad mark on me. I want you to come to this church and say, "I'm growing." I want you to come and say, "I'm learning. I'm receiving blessings. I'm able to do things I've never been able to do before. You caused me to come out of my comfort zone. You caused me to say things to people, to do things that I've never done before." That's what you're here for. You're not here for entertainment, although I can be quite entertaining at times. Don't come for that. Don't come, because you're going to be held responsible, and you don't need it. Come because you want to know Jesus more than you've ever known him before. That's why you come. It's going to be the year of manifestation. Perfect new beginnings, year 7 to 8. We're already beginning. We're talking to you on Sunday about the miraculous. We're talking to you tonight about prayer. This was not designed, and yet God has he makes it all flow. He puts it together. So He wants you to be in position. See, after the year starts, it's not time to be in position. Because by the time you get in position, you're going to have wasted half the year. The time to position yourself is now, so when God's ready to move, you're available. I'm here today because I positioned myself to be here and waited for God to move. I didn't wait for God to say, go to Lake Placid, and then begin to position myself to be able to make that transition. Does that make sense to you? I wouldn't have been able to pull it off. But I positioned myself waiting for what God was going to do. I took the proper steps. So, I think I'm ready to start.
Okay. You know, actually, this sermon was titled Seven Steps to Prayer That Brings Results. That's why there's seven little steps. But then I asked God about that, and he said, well, some people take a little bit more than seven to get ready. He says, there's some hard-headed people out there, so go easy, okay? So I need to bring the rhino out here so you go a little easy on us. Okay, we're going to talk about a foundational scripture, and yeah, we are kind of going in that direction. It probably won't all come out tonight, but let's look at the foundational scripture that we're going to base all of this on.
But Jesus was matter of fact. Jesus didn't always play around the bush. He didn't always soften his words. He sometimes he was right in your face, depending upon what you needed. And yet we get so angry when church gets in our face, but yet Jesus sometimes was very matter of fact. But Jesus was matter of fact. Yes, and if you embrace this kingdom life and don't doubt God, you'll not only do minor feats like I did to the fig tree, but also triumph over huge obstacles. It would take me two Sundays to tell you what he did to the fig tree. This mountain, for instance, you tell, go jump in the lake, and it will jump. And we Christians have gotten so hung up on this scripture, and you've gotten so misaligned, and you start believing in, and I was brought up in a denominational church that said the Bible is literal. And yet Jesus says it's not literal. Why do you speak in parables? To confound the wise. It's not for everybody to hear. That mountain is that obstacle in your life. It's that circumstance that you're dealing with. He's trying to tell you that you have power over what is in your way. Because if it means a literal mountain, and I've never seen anybody move Mount Kilimanjaro this much, then I have a faith that doesn't work. I'm going to Tahiti. Forget this. I'm not playing, well, this is true, but this isn't game with God anymore. I did that when I was young. I don't do that anymore after the whooping I got. Now it's God, yes, I get it. Everything you say, not for me to pick and choose, not for me to say I don't believe this and I believe that. Now it's time for me to embrace everything from Genesis to Revelation and understand and try to understand what you're saying to me rather than just look at it at face value and judge it. Absolutely, everything ranging from small to large, as you make it part of your believing prayer, gets included as you lay hold of God. What does that mean? As you position yourself in God. You see, we want to move the mountains in our life. I know I do. I have moved a great mountain this year and got my health back on track. That was a huge mountain for me. And now the doctor calls me his poster child. Yes?
Yes.
I'm not making that up.
Nope. Lead by example, he says.
He's trying to keep up with me now.
Yes.
This is true. Yes?
Yes.
He was always had the best numbers. He has the same problems I got, and he always had the best numbers in the office. And then I come in, and all of a sudden he's looking at, how did you do this? How'd you do this? That's what he's asking me. How? And I make some cockamamie story up. I won't tell him the truth.
Quite a few.
I mess him up.
Yeah, you do.
Where was I going with this? You don't know.
Don't have a clue.
Mountain, yes, it was a mountain in my life. It was serious to me. It was as serious as Mount Kilimanjaro. It was in my way. It was... And you see, I'm thankful I have a Christian doctor that I can talk to him about God. Because God is as much as my treatment plan as anything else is. Some of us go through the same obstacle year after year after year after year after year. Why don't you do something about it? How many years have you been financially struggling? Don't answer that out loud. Then let's do something about it. How many years have your prayers not been answered? Then let's do something about it. Mm-hmm. How many years has your health not been right? Let's do something about it. I will cut my mountains down. I'm not going to ask him to jump. I'll cause him to disintegrate. Because I'm going to do something about it.
Take them out at the roots, right? Prayer that brings results must be based on five different things. And we're going to look at the scriptures to back these up. First of all, we've got to be based on God's word. We have to abide in him. We have to follow him. We have to have confidence in what we say and what he does back for us, and we have to use declarations to do so. First scripture we're going to look at is John 15:7.
If you abide in me and my voice abides in you, anything you ask will come to pass for you. So the first question I have for you, are you praying God's words? Or are you praying your words? See, I have to go find God's words and speak them back to him. Mm-hmm. You see, they do that to me all the time. They'll catch me doing something and they'll say, but in your sermon of what did you do with the pearl, you said this. In your sermon of lost in the city, you said this. I'm like, don't use that against me. You see, I can't come against what they said. I said, I have to backtrack. I'm done. I have to say, you caught me. I have no defense. My defense is gone. I don't want God looking down at me and said, you know, I never said that. I don't want him looking down and saying, that's not my will. You want, what was that, son? You want me to bless you financially so you could buy more material gain? I don't think I can do that, son. What's that, son? You want me to bless you so that you can sow into the kingdom? So that you can help me, help our people? Isn't that what he already told me to do? And now am I just not speaking his words back to him? See, when if God's abiding in you, you can't help but speak back his words. But do you know God well enough? Do you know him well enough? And you know my famous saying, I want to know Jesus so well that I can finish his sentences. That's how well I want to know Jesus. I was sitting at dinner one night and the prophet was sitting across from me and I didn't know it, that he was a prophet. And we were sitting there for an hour and he never said a word the entire night. I was wondering why they put me at the table with him. And I go to leave and he catches me on the sidewalk outside and he said, you know, I've spent the entire night asking God who you were. When I got there, God told me to watch you. I said, oh? And he said, I have my answer. God said you were someone who wants to know him. I want him to abide in me. I want to know him. I want to know how he feels about something when you bring it to me. I want to be able to speak God's word to you and not my word. Amen. Pastor, do you think this is a good idea? No, I want to speak God's word to you. I want him to abide in me. There's no shortcut to this. Do not think you can be a part-time Christian . It's not going to work. God wants to abide in you, however, you have to make the place. If you don't make a spot for him, did I say spot? Well, see, that's how you start off. You make a little spot. See, you're going to give him this little spot right here. You could stay here, God. As long as I can still hang out with my rowdy friends, you can stay there. As long as I can still watch this thing on the computer, you can stay in your spot. Oh, we'll shine on Sunday, God, because I'll take you to church. Oh, as long as I don't have to work, God. Stay in your spot. Got quiet. Am I meddling, Pastor Brett? And then you start growing and you start giving God a bigger spot. See? Can I tell you when you win? When God has a bigger place in you than you do. When it's all of a sudden, God, it's not about what I want to do. What do you want me to do today, God? Because that's what we're going to do. It's when I don't have time to make that hospital visit, God, but if that's what we're going to do, let's go do it. Well, I don't really want to give that money away, God, but if you're telling me to give that money away, I'm going to give it away. And when you got God abiding in you, then all of a sudden things change, because all of a sudden you start asking for things, and guess what? All of a sudden, there it is. There it is. Because God was abiding in me. Mm-hmm. I was abiding in God. But if you don't pray speaking his words back to him, don't expect this to happen to you. And if you don't know what his words are, don't expect you're going to be able to pray his words to him. Do the math. You better know his voice to speak his voice.
When you abide in him, it makes it really easy to follow him, because if you're abiding in him, then you're not walking away from him or walking against him, so to speak. So the next one is 1 John 3:22.
Did anybody say you look like an Eskimo tonight?
I am warm, thank you very much.
I'm looking over here, I'm sweating looking at your outfit.
Listen, I am comfortable.
Whatever we may ask, we receive it from him, because we follow his commands and take the path that pleases him. Mm-hmm. One of my questions that I have for God is, does this please you? Is this what you want? But see, we don't want to follow the commands, because that'll interfere with our wallet.
True.
That will make us do uncomfortable things. Mm-hmm. I still can't believe I rapped at another church.
It's on the computer.
Scott, I'm a middle-aged white guy. I'm not supposed to be rapping. But God said to go do a rap. So I went and did a rap. At a strange church on top of that. I follow the command of God whether I want to or I don't want to. Mm-hmm. It's not a choice for me. Whatever he says to do, I'm going to do. And he's asked me to do some ridiculous things. Point of contention. We'll deal with it later, God. But each thing he asks me to do, I come out stronger. Do you think maybe he did it to strengthen me? This open a church thing was ridiculous. Go open a church, a what? Who? Where?
Where?
God, do you know those people are country folk? Jose, I come from the city. I don't know about this country stuff. They got their own language here. They got their own everything. I don't understand it. Stop believing, please, that you can do it your way and please God. It's not possible. It is not possible. When I started looking for a church in Fort Lauderdale, where I live, somehow I thought that was a good idea. Silly me. And we're looking at churches, and I'm throwing offer. I made an offer on a church I never saw.
Aren't you glad for unanswered prayers?
This church was 10 minutes from my house. It went up for sale. It was $800,000. I called them up and said, I'll take it. I did. What happened? They said no. They were like, we didn't think it was going to sell that fast. So you know what? We're not prepared to move, so we're taking it off the market. Gone. That's what happened to me. I never saw the church. Gone. I'm looking all over Fort Lauderdale for a church. And then God has that little word for me. Excuse me, son. Yeah? Mm. Church ain't where you want it. It's where I want it. Oh, no. Did you just say that? The church isn't where I want it. It's where you want it. Oh, this don't sound good. What does this mean for me? Means I have to be willing to go where he sends me. Now, if you're married to Miss Marjorie, you'll find out that's a rough gig right there. She don't like going nowhere. My team came to me privately without her one day, and they said, we have something to tell you. I said, sure, what do you want to tell me? They said, Marjorie's not going. So what do you mean Marjorie's not going? They said, she's not going. I said, you leave Marjorie to me and God, and you just stay on track. And I began to look for a church all over the country. I'm in Ohio looking for churches. Thinking, that's my home state. I'll go to Ohio and get me a church. I almost bought a church in Fort Myers that was 40,000 square feet. Had two sanctuaries, balconies, city block. I almost bought a church in Jensen Beach. I almost bought a church in Naples. When will we ever learn it's never about us? It's about what does God want? And God wanted me in Lake Placid because this is where he sent me. You see, I've got the understanding because of Marjorie, Pastor Marjorie, that we were sent here. Without doubt, without question. Are you sure about that? Yes, I'm sure about that. He brought Marjorie to this church in a vision and flew her throughout the building. And then when Marjorie said, I know what our church looks like, I said, oh, what's it look like? And about the time she said, well, you go through the double doors, and then when you look on the sanctuary, on the left side, you'll see rocks from the ceiling to the stage, and then on the right side, you'll see rocks from the ceiling from the stage that match the ones on the left. And she talks about the mauve tile being in the foyer and the double doors and the color of the building and the winding parking driveway and the views, and that we had another building behind this building, and behind that building was the commercial kitchen, and the countertops are this color, and she's not seen the church yet. Nobody has. And I'm a big man of faith. I put my arm around her and said, all those things don't have to be right. You know, baby. You know, if it has double doors, maybe that's it. And when we got here, none of us have ever seen a picture. Could you imagine how we felt? Can you imagine the utter shock of seeing 15 things that she described about this building all being 100% accurate? And she knew it was run down too, because she said, and I saw you remodeling it. Can't you find one already done? I have to have the path that pleases my God. Why? It's better for me. They say a happy wife, a happy life. A happy God, that's a happy life.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Okay, the next one is confidence. That's where we all go wrong, is because a lot of times our prayers show absolutely no confidence in what you're asking for. If you question what you're asking for, maybe you shouldn't be asking for it in the first place. 1 John 5:14 through 15.
Before I read that, I will tell you that sometimes I'm asked to pray for somebody and I say no.
Mm-hmm.
If my confidence isn't right, I'm not going to placate you. I'm not going to string you along. I'm not going to play pastor for you. I may have to go get myself right before I pray for you.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't very long. Pastor Linda asked me to pray for an illness she had. On what day was it you asked me to pray for it?
Wednesday, wasn't it?
Wednesday.
Friday. It was Friday.
Friday. I prayed for it on Sunday. Because
mm-hmm.
I knew how bad it hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to hurt for 3 more days before. No.
I know you did. That's okay. Jesus rose in 3 days. Just remember that, okay?
I had that before.
Yes.
And so when she said, can you pray for this? I'm like, oh, whoa, uh-oh. That's a toughie right there. Nope, not praying for it. I had to go talk to God for a minute. 3 days. My confidence wasn't right. What would have happened if I prayed for her on that day? Probably nothing. So I didn't. She was mad too.
You were getting ready to go home when you prayed for it.
You thought I was going home, didn't you?
I did. I was mad.
She was mad. We live in the bold confidence that God hears our voices when we ask for things that fit His plan. Sometimes you got to stop and ask yourself, does this fit your plan?
Mm-hmm.
You see, especially when somebody's dying.
Mm.
In the church that I was trained at, I got an assignment to counsel with a Miami Dolphin football player. And his mother was dying of cancer. And so I asked God the question. Y'all be afraid to ask God something. I asked God, can I, you okay talking about the hospital visit the other day? Kathy asked for me to come and see her father in the hospital because they thought he was going to die. Is that accurate? And so what do? I get there and I ask God, is he going to die? God said, not now. And I told her in front of her family that for the next few days, he'll be fine. Yes? Is that exactly what happened? Why did I tell her that? Because I had asked the question. Got my answer. And they all felt better. Yes, you felt better because you were expecting the worst and got a reprieve. Now, he's not going to recover. That's a lie. Don't be careful. Don't fall into that. He is going to recover. It's just not going to be on this side of eternity. Isaiah says, by his stripes, you've been healed. Mm-hmm. You're healed. Doesn't say which side of eternity. Her father has a miraculous healing coming on the other side of eternity. Write it down, carve it in stone. It's coming. Where was I going with this?
Confidence in prayer.
Confidence in prayer. I remember now. Sometimes when my confidence isn't right, I know that I will let you down. And I place too big of a demand on my faith to allow that to happen. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to redirect myself. And I love the story of the prophet Elisha. He goes to revive the Shunammite woman's son, and he climbs up on the sun to breathe life into him. The kid's been dead about a week. And nothing happens. That's more important than the fact that the kid rose from the dead. Because if you don't understand that part of the story, you're missing a very big part of the story. And nothing happened. And Elisha had to get off of him and get himself right. And then when he got back on the second time, the miraculous occurred. You see, he was running on emotion. That Shunammite woman meant something very dear to him. She was a very dear person. And sometimes, more than not, the person that's asking me for prayer is very dear to me. And if I'm not careful, I'll lead with my emotion and I'll cause nothing to happen. She made a place for him to live. She sacrificed. She gave him a piece of her house that whenever he traveled that he could have a place, and she furnished it eloquently. She made him comfortable. And she wasn't expecting payment. There are many of you that have made a place for me in your life. And when you're in need, I want to run to you. I want to run as fast as I can and pray for you. Pastor Linda and Pastor Jim made a place for us in their life when we got to Lake Placid. That or we were too smelly, I'm not sure. But the second time I saw them, they handed me the key to their house and said, here, use our house to come and take showers while you work at the church. Smelly, you think? Yeah. Pastor Marjorie? No, okay. That only leaves me. And I'm thinking, I've just met the two stupidest country people I've ever seen. How many of you hand your key to the house to a complete stranger and say, use the house whenever you want, whether we're home or not? Huh? But see, they followed the commandment of God. Caused them to do something uncomfortable. Pastor Jim was having a fit. He's like, what you talking about, Linda? Giving them the key to our house. And for 9 months or so, we used their house to take showers, or 7 months, something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We were going down to the Ramada Inn, and we were living at the church, but we would go down there and pay for a room just to be able to take a shower.
Mm-hmm. And not stay there.
And not stay there.
Yeah.
Took our shower and came back.
Mm-hmm.
But they made a place. So when they're in need, I have a great desire to run to the rescue. But I never listen to my emotions. I say one thing about emotions, they're liars. Mm-hmm. I think about it for a minute, and I get my confidence right with God. And sometimes I gotta, God, you gave me the gift of healing. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Can I be the vessel, God, that brings heaven to earth? Can I be the vessel, God, that prays for her and allows you to heal her? See, we live in a bold confidence that God hears our voices when we ask for things that fit in his plan. If it doesn't fit in his plan, don't ask for it. It's just wasting your time. Mm-hmm. Doubt. If we have no doubt. How much doubt can you have?
None.
None. A picture of pure water is pure water. It's uncontaminated. But yet if you put one drop of cyanide in it, now you have a picture of poison. You've completely contaminated your water. Sometimes your tear contaminates your prayer.
Mm.
Why are you crying? Sometimes your tears are brought on by your doubt that God's going to do what he said he's going to do. we're out of time, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
We're out of time.
Yes.
We're definitely out of time.
Yes.
We probably didn't get too far.
No.
Prayer warriors, come up if you want prayer before you leave tonight. If you want to have a prayer life that's effective, please understand that you've got to begin to work on it. You've got to be able to position yourself. You've got to be able to understand how God wants you to go about it. You've got to be able to release you and bring in God. My prayer life's going to work. Because if it's not working, I'm going to change something. I'm going to do something different. I'm going to dig a little deeper. I'm going to listen to a few more sermons. I'm going to go to church a little more. I'm going to read my Bible some more. I'm going to talk to God some more. I'm going to figure out, why is this thing not working? I don't have time to fail. And I wish I knew what I knew now when I was much younger. It's taken me a long time to get here. Long time. Much too long. But I'm going to make great use for whatever time I have left. So, Father, we thank you tonight for what you have for us. How we want it, God. I look at Pastor Jose here tonight, God, and here's a man far, far, far from home who's been given a time of refreshment, and yet he still has to be in your house. Something compelled him to be here tonight, God. And then I remember Jesus who said, where'd you think I was going to be? I had to be about my Father's business. You see, there's more God in him than him. And he has to be about his Father's business tonight. And that's how we want to be, God. Help us to take this little lesson that he displayed in front of us without ever speaking a word. And help us to model ourselves after that. We have to be about the Father's business. Where do you think you're going to find us? We want a prayer that works, God. Make it effective. We'll speak your words to you. We'll abide in you. We'll follow your commands. We'll have confidence. We'll be in position, God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I love you all. Please come Sunday for part two. Are you sure about that? Teresa, come on up here. We're going to pray for Teresa as she gets ready to travel. Pastor Brett. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. We anoint you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Traveling mercies, God, to be upon Teresa as she travels. God, she needs some time of refreshment. She needs, God, that time to get away, to be with her sister and to have a good time, God. And you've made a way. We bless this trip in the mighty name of Jesus. We ask, God, that you put a protective shield around her, keeping her safe in all that she does, from the driving to the floating on the water. and make that guardrail slippery, God, so if she tries to hold on when that boat docks, she can't. Because we want her back. Thank you, God, for what you're doing in her life.